lot of verses there. A lot of different people that we're invited to see. And I thought one of the ways was we look at these individuals maybe a little clearer and we see what's going on. The message really is very simple. There is blindness, and there is physical blindness and spiritual blindness. Very similar to what we went through last week, where we had a spiritual side and we had a physical side. So the question comes up as we go through Lent is, what is the relationship between God and His Son and you? Had a gentleman stop in the office this week, and he was doing a survey. I happen to know him in the community from years past. And one thing that he wanted to talk about was, what is the Lutheran stand on Jesus compared to the Lutheran stand on Jews? And he wanted to create some kind of a dissension as he was doing his little talk. And I said, it's really not about what a group believes. We look at those things and we can follow those things. But again, it comes down to, what is your relationship between a holy God? And everyone in here, it's not a matter of who's beside you or where you're belonging. It is a personal thing. Are you blinded to spiritual things, or can you see them? And that's what comes up. So let's look at some of those. Let's look at Jesus. He's called a rabbi. He's known mostly whenever people come in contact with him. He's different than a normal person. He knows things that they just can't believe he would know. All the way through his life, even when he was a young one, teaching people in a synagogue. And when people hear the word of Jesus, they see that he's a teacher. And as you read the Bible and you learn more of him, you find that there are things you can learn from him, and you see him for who he is, the Son of God. And had people gone all the way back in the Old Testament, look at prophecy, every prophecy that would come has been met by the Lord Jesus Christ. What was going to happen? What was going to happen was to honor God himself. When it gets to asking, why is this man blind? The Old Testament and the theologians or Pharisees at that time, and even the disciples, believe that a reason somebody had a problem, and it's not much different sometimes today. I can remember growing up, people would ask, why has that person got a handicap, or why did that thing happen to him? What did they do? What did they cause a sin? Did they sin? Or did their parents sin that these things would happen to them? And here God mentions that this nothing happened from somebody else's fault. It was there to promote and show the majesty, the mercy, and the grace of God. So a lot of times before we make those judgments, what is God doing? What's he doing in your life? What's he doing in somebody else's life that he might show the work of God? It's an interesting thing to think about. Work had to be done for the Father. He tells you that there's a time while he's in, he's the what of the world? Light of the world. And when he's gone, he's not there anymore. So he has a short period of time to show the work of God, his Father. He says, night's coming. Jesus is the light. And then there's a sense of urgency. The man, it's interesting when we get to him, he didn't ask Jesus to be healed. He didn't even see him. He's blind. But there's a sense of urgency with Christ. Jesus made it personal, and he touched him. One time, when I'm looking at different ways, maybe we do Bible studies, we should have a series, The Touch of Jesus. Have you had that touch in your life where nothing else could help but just the touch of Jesus? It's interesting if you study those things and you see where people were. There was a concern that if somebody professed that Jesus was the Messiah, what would happen to them? They no longer could go to their synagogue. They would be cast out. Well, look at that with his parents. And it happened to him. And isn't Jesus neat? He meets you where you are. Here he's had a great experience. He's able to see. And some of their laws were funny because even on the Sabbath, you could go ahead and you could spit and make mud, but you couldn't put it on somebody's eyes. kind of funny. There was a book at that time that they followed of all the different laws on the Sabbath. But here Jesus meets a physical need, and now the man finds out how to meet his spiritual need. So Jesus does that. The man was blind from birth, and he suffered for years. They think he was probably about 30 years old at the time that he met Jesus. Quite a long time to be blind. So those are the things Jesus has planned for him, planned for his disciples to see, plans for the Pharisees to see, those that are following, that they would see what kind of Jesus that we worship even today. One that's ready to touch and meet your need. In 2 Corinthians 1, it says, starting in verse 3, praise to God, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort those who are troubled and comfort with ourselves receive God. For just as we shared abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also the comfort abounds through Jesus. This blind man now would be able to, and he did right away, start to witness for others. I've gone through this. I didn't seek him. He sought me. I was blind, but I now see. He goes back to his family and his friends. It's a simple witness. I was this way, and now I'm this way. And when you witness, you might think, oh, there's all these scriptures I have to remember. There's all these things that have to happen. I ask you, and the stories would be great if we share them sometimes as we meet. What were you like before Jesus? What has Jesus done for you? We find out the blind man, it's very simple. I was blind, but I now see. It's thought in this passage, this is where Amazing Grace, the hymn Amazing Grace came from. I was blind, but now I see. And there's a time in your life where you may have been spiritually blind. The things of the scripture didn't make sense. Talking about Jesus and taking away your sin made no sense. You maybe didn't even see yourself as a sinner. But there is a point in your life where your life changed. And this is what it was like before, and this is what it's like now. It doesn't have to be one of those stories that, oh, I was so deep in sin and didn't know how to get out. It's just a simple story. I once was blind, but now I see. It's interesting, the man, in James, it tells us, count it joy if we have suffering. My brethren, in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Paul mentioned that he, in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, he mentions about some kind of ailment he had. He prayed that it would be gone, but it wasn't. And he lived with it through his life. It was a way of showing how God kept him humble, his dependency on God, and God was there, but this case, he didn't receive healing. This blind man, his living was begging. He would go up to synagogue and he would beg. That was his livelihood. The question we come sometimes, we wonder about his parents. Why weren't they taking care of him? They were there. But he was doing his own thing and out there to beg for money. He didn't see Jesus. Jesus saw him. He is told to wash. The man named Jesus, but then at first didn't know who he was. He knew that he had to be at least a prophet. And then just like last Sunday, this is one of the times Jesus actually tells somebody who he is. And he says, well, who is he? And he says he was standing in the presence of God himself. It's just interesting because the Pharisees kept asking, well, were you really blind? And now everybody in the neighborhood knew that he had been blind since birth. They were, oh, you look like somebody else. It's just somebody else. And it got to the point where his parents had been afraid that they would be kicked out of the synagogue, and he was kicked out. But it's interesting, Jesus knew the hurt that had occurred and met him and told him who he was. We have the disciples. Disciples, they want to know, based on the old teachings and the rumors that went around through the time of teaching, who sinned, him or his parents? They also had a discussion about the compassion that Christ showed this man. The neighbors, they were witnesses of what he was before and what he is now. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. But if God has touched your life and changed you, people are watching. And they see the things that you do. And they wonder, oh, Sunday, they might be watching out their window. Let's see, are they going to church again? Who knows? But they do. They question him. And they also have wonder and they're confused. And they have a lower expectation in what was happening. His family, however, yes, he's our son. Yes, he's been born blind since he came, was born. But then they protect their own interest, don't they? When they're asked how it happened or why it happened, they say what? Ask him. He's an adult. And the reason's given that they were afraid that he'd be kicked out of the synagogue. And that's what happened to him. The Pharisees. First, Sabbath law. There's a book called the Mishnah, the book on what you could do and couldn't do on the Sabbath. That's a man-made book. They added the law to it. It's kind of like people sometimes want to say, well, it's not good enough that you just accept Jesus as your Savior and forgiveness of sins. You must do such and such. Add it for time or whatever. They also believed that you could sin in the womb as a baby. So that's why it came up. Who sinned? Parents or child? But that was Jewish belief at the time. The answer, I was blind, but now I see. Hard for them to understand. They asked if they wanted to be disciples. You are asking me all these questions on how he's healed. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus too? And that got them infuriated. Just because you had a change in your life and you've met this man, now you want to teach us? We can see that happen even in us. And then he was cast out of fellowship. But Jesus came, and he told them of judgment because he knew their hearts. And they asked, are we blind? And he basically is telling them, if you didn't know the history of the scriptures, the Torah, and explore those things, then you're not blind. You can see. But if you know them, as you should be knowing, and you're telling the people around what they should believe and who they should believe in, then you're blind because you're missing it. You're missing who he is. Jesus came to bring salvation, and that will bring judgment to man. You either accept or you don't accept, and it's your personal choice. Jesus ended up being rejected on earth, accepted in heaven, and accepted by God. And you and I are accepted in him if we believe in the work that he has done for us. And our home is not here, however great it may be or how bad it may be. This no longer is our home. Heaven is our future home. And whatever you've done today in the past has all been forgiven from the work of the Jesus Christ. And you've been accepted. It even tells us that we can boldly, as Hebrews would say, come before the throne of God. Because he no longer looks at us in our sin, but in what the work of Christ has done. we're forgiven. May we be spiritually open that we can see because of what Jesus has done for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of this blind man, born blind, and yet able to see. What a glorious thing for him, his family, and others. But more glorious for us to know the story, that we too may be spiritually blind, but can see if we let Jesus open our eyes. Be with us in the sense that we feel your presence, and we know for sure we are accepted through the work of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.